Hello, welcome to Scots Radio, the programme that likes to gang into the nooks and crannies of Scots culture. Well, most of them. And enjoy celebrating the Scots language. I'm Frieda Morrison, and my soon sorter, head of technical gadgets and fiddly things, is Richard Werner.
Hello, head of Knobs and Sliders.
Knobs and Sliders checking in.
How are we doing?
We're fine. Back in the room again, glad you could join us. This is a song for an album card, Songs of Separation. We're still a lineup. This is one of my favourite songs. Corinne Polwart, tacking the lead. This is The Echo Mocks the Corncrake, starting with the corncrake itself.
The lass that I loved first of all was handsome, young and fair. With her I spent some happy nights along the banks so air. With her I spent some happy nights where yon wee burnie rouse, where the echo mocks the corncrake amongst the whinnying nows. We loved each other dearly, disputes we seldom had, as constant as the pendulum, her heart beat always glad. We sought for love and found it war yon wee burnie rouse, where the echo mocks the corncrake amongst the whinnying nows. Ye made us fair and pleasure dames, comfy the banks so doon. Ye dearly pay for every cent to the joy is free for all, where the scented clover grows, and the echo mocks the corncrake amongst the whinnying nows. The whinnying nows are clad with snow, the tops are the highest whin. But when cold winter is o'er and summer clears the sky, we welcome back the corncrake, the bird of rural joy.
What a sound. The echo mocks the corncrake among the whinny nows. The corncrake, as I heard it a few years ago in Glenmazurin near Tomatin, near Inverness, recording a radio series for BBC Scotland with the legendary and much missed Archie Gamekeeper, or Archie Davidson. And just before the thunder and lightning storm, Richie. I wonder if you could resist that. Now, as you know, it's not a good idea to be hugging a metal microphone in the middle of a lightning storm.
Oh, definitely not.
And Archie just being Archie said, ah, just get on with it. Nothing will come over you. It's a diamond. Yeah. Ah, see that sound? I don't know why Archie says, far's that soon coming, Faye?
Oh, this one?
Aye. And I says, over there. And he says, nae one near it.
What?
It's sitting over there, opposite direction.
No, how's Aye. That now?
The corncrake throws its voice, as in the song, the echo mocks the corncrake. It throws his voice to put folk off, kin and far, it's sitting on its nest.
Isn't that clever?
That's clever, I thought. Anyway, I was too occupied with the lightning storm and nothing.
Aye, right. On a microphone.
But as I said, that song comes from the CD, Songs of Separation, recorded on the Island of Egg in 6 days. Island of Egg.
Amazing.
Aye. Now, that's another story about the Island of Egg. About happy memories of the first day of independence on the island. But I had the pleasure of attending Trad Talk 2017 recently, courtesy of the Traditional Music Forum at the Talbooth Arts Centre in Stirling. TMF is a network of around 100 organisations covering every aspect of trad music. And Trad Talk is for the members coming together to chat over the big topics of the day. And the day was started off by Jenny Hill, for was the driving force of him, the marking of the CD Songs of Separation. And Jen spoke about marking the CD and another tack on closing the gender gap, a much spoken about topic the new. But the main topic of the day was food to market trad music and make a living thereby. So after the conference session, I spoke to the TMF director, David Francis, and Martin Haddon, owner of Burnham CD and Online, and one of the founding members of Silly Wizard, a group that pioneered the path for Scottish bands throughout the world. So far better to ask about the state of the trad nation than them twa. First, David Francis.
I think this is the sixth year that we've done Trad Talk, and inevitably the issues that we deal with are perennial. It's just a question of trying to come up with a slightly different angle on the same issues. And the issues are, where do we find information? How do we learn traditional music? You know, who's responsible for it? How do we make sure that it gets heard? What are the platforms? What are the, you know, is it festivals, clubs, venues of various kinds? You know, how do we market it?
But surely the bottom line is, how do folk earn a living by it? You know, there's a lot of folk now coming out of the conservatoire, a lot of musicians wanting to try and learn a living about it. How do they do it? Because a pie can only go in so many slices.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the questions about the whole live thing is, are there too many acts looking for too few gigs? Or looked at from another point of view, are there too few promoters actually willing to kind of put their energy and their money on the line to actually make the gigs that would give an opportunity for all these folk that are looking to earn a living as folk musicians?
Can I go across to Martin Haddon from Burnham CD now? Martin, you've been in this music scene, the traditional music scene, for how many years?
Oh, hour long, about 40 years now.
You started off with Silly Wizard.
Mm-hmm.
And you basically pioneered the path for an awful lot of the bands in Scotland, throughout the world.
I suppose so.
Looking at the scene now in Scotland, it looks healthy for the outside, but is it going to implode in itself because there's so many folk trying to earn a living in it?
Well, I suppose in that way it's kind of a victim of its own popularity. The music's, because this model was put in place many years ago, and I'm not sure who came up with the idea of putting traditional music into the education system, but it's been absolutely brilliant.
It's
you know,
really
and I think the scene is now more healthy, more inclusive,
vibrant,
more vibrant than it's ever been. However, there is this whole issue of there being our many folk to actually be sustainable. So maybe they do need thinning out a bit, but that's just going to happen naturally. If the infrastructure's no there to support Aberdeen, then some will fall by the wayside. Doesn't
so it? How can you can only look across the hedge into to Ireland? They seem to be managing okay.
Up to a point. I mean, the kind of received wisdom about what's happening in Ireland is that there are plenty of musicians, but actually because there's such a lively session scene and a pub scene, is that it's really difficult to actually get a gig in Ireland, and because the public that are looking for that kind of music can go into any pub and hear high quality music practically any night of the week. So for somebody that's actually saying, okay, I've got a particular view of the music, I've crafted these songs, I've got a particular vision that I want to share with you, their opportunities to do that are actually quite limited.
We're standing here just on the balcony of the meeting room, looking out over Stirling, and again, everybody can hear it, but there's pipers playing doing the loan. Yeah. You know, there's a vibrancy, as we were saying, in Scottish traditional music. But fits the plan for new on? Fit would you like to see happen?
Ooh, that's a biggin'.
You've got to keep it going.
Oh, it'll keep going. I mean, folk I was mark music. Good music, great music. It's just how it gets out to folk, how you sell it, I hate that word, monetize, you know. Bigify your dosh. That's what I would say, you know. But there has to be some way. I don't know how folk can mark 11 note. I don't know. There are many of them, and I think we've always looked across to Ireland with a bit of rose tinted glasses. I'm not sure if there are actually that many musicians more than here making their living out of it.
On a practical note, again, there's a lot of bands coming out in the traditional scene. Is it near about time that we should be trying to maybe encourage folk to be soloists? That could be part of that.
But then you see, I don't know how you can encourage folk to be doing that. I mean, the kids are going through the schools and they're getting this. They're getting this great education and great grounding in Scottish music, and they all have playing together. There's a great camaraderie amongst them all, which I know was never...
It's a big part of
it. Oh, it's a fantastic... It's not a thing I'd thought of, and I just realised it recently, because when I was playing with Silly Wizard, there was us, the Tannehill Weavers, Ossian, and the Battlefield Bands, and we got on well enough, but we would have tore one another's throats out for a gig. And, you know, we didn't get on in the same way that the young musicians of the day get on, and there's a great camaraderie and a support network amongst them all. Things come in waves and in cycles, and the fact that we're now seeing a cycle where there's an awful lot of bands, the pendulum will swing the other way, and I think before too long, quite naturally, younger folk will start thinking, well, I should go out and be a solo artist because that's going to make me stick out for the crowd doing it rather. So I think these things will happen naturally, and if it's no natural, it's no worth hearing anyway.
We're surrounded in the past, here's to the future, I suppose.
Aye, yeah.
Absolutely.
Here's to the future. And as I mentioned, Martin Haddon there was one of the founding members of the pioneering folk band Silly Wizard in the 1980s. This is a track for their album recorded at Sanders Theatre, Massachusetts. And this is Phil Cunningham taking the lead on tunes Scarce at That Is and Lyndhurst. We'll be right back. What a band. Silly Wizard recorded live at Saunders Theatre, US of A. Just the biz. And you listen to Scotch Radio. I'm Frieda Morrison, and in the control room was soon sorter Richie Werner. Hello, Richie, you still there?
Hello, I'm still here.
Good.
I'm still here.
Right, back to the Trad Talk gathering in the Talbooth Arts Centre in Stirling. Singer Iona Fife was there, and since the topic under discussion most of the day revolved around marketing and making a living in the trad music world, I asked Iona about the challenges she faces as a young singer just started on the professional path in Scotland and launching her new album via her crowdfunding campaign.
I think it's really hard, especially in this days and age when there's heaps and heaps of new singers coming out the conservatoire or coming out the Edinburgh degree, or there's just so many singers and so many singers that they look up to and that I look up to, and it's folk who are all trying to do the same things, going to the same clubs, and everyone's trying to do the same thing.
But how are you trying? I mean, I can, you're trying to get your first debut album, but is that an easy job?
It's not an easy job. Deciding on fit you're going to put on the album and what singers you're going to research and what you're trying to sing and what interpretation you're going for, if you should over arrange it or if you shouldn't arrange it at all, if you should do unaccompanied, if you should add in guitar. I think it's not an easy job.
Right, what about the finance though? That's the bottom line.
Finance is pretty difficult to deal with because I am a student, and I'm not making that much money because I didn't have enough time to get a part-time job. So the crowdfunder is, that's the hinge. It's actually very difficult to make an album if you didn't have a record label and I didn't have.
Okay, how much does an album cost to put out?
Around £10,000.
£10,000?
Oh yeah.
That's a lot
around,
of money.
Around that. That's a minimum though. That nowadays, that's a minimum to put out an album. It could be more than that, it could be less, but that's kind of the average.
So you're going to do this with crowdfunding? Raise how much with crowdfunding?
£9,200 is the aim.
Okay, how long do you hate to do that?
I've got a month left.
Right. I'm going to wish you luck here. I think it's great that you're trying this.
Yeah, I think it's worth it to try. As a student, I can't apply to the funds. I can't apply to
Creative Scotland.
Students are not allowed to do that. There is a smaller grant called Time to Shine, and that has supported me in the past. But I feel uncomfortable reapplying and reapplying when other people need the opportunities. So I think the crowdfunding will be hopefully a worthy route. And I've crowdfunded £2,600 already. So hopefully in the next month or so, I can see an additional lot. I mean, there's another 6,000, 7,000 to raise, but hopefully if I've got a community of practice which will support me in this vital part of the crowdfunding experience, hopefully maybe I'll make a wee bit of mare.
Okay, if folk want to help you and get involved in this, how do they do it?
They can go onto my website, www.ionafifemusic.com/indiegogo. Or they can just type it into the Google or the Facebook. Or, you know what, they can just contact me. They can just call me.
Right. Now, big question. Why bother?
Why bother? Because I will send them CDs. I will send them research material. I'll send them song lyrics. But I'm trying to keep a tradition alive. And I'm trying to showcase Northeast music in a new light, which hasn't been done before, perhaps in alternative settings, perhaps with different styles or different musicians or different, just something that's fresh and innovative but still sympathetic to tradition, because that's important.
You've got a band as well to support, Ryan. Why bother with a band? Just go out and sing solo.
I think you could do that, and you could do that very well and just do it solo.
You're lonely.
Yes, I do solo gigs because I enjoy it. I love doing a 12, 45 minutes of just singing songs, and I think that's really, really important. But I enjoy going around with a guitar and a bass.
Chummies.
And I think it's important that they get paid in a. But I think arranging a song, that's another part of the folk song process, that it did happen in the 60s. You know, you can hear source singers such as Jane Turriff with her harmonica. I mean, the style of arrangement has happened years and years advanced through the revival and through to now, and I think taking that to the next level and trying to be innovative, it's all just a continuing tradition. I mean, some people argue that, oh, folk songs should be unaccompanied, and that's for today. Yes, and I totally agree with that. I still enter the competitions because I love the idea of an unaccompanied song. In my EP, Cairn Amount, my favourite song of the EP was unaccompanied. But At the same time, I think it's very challenging. And nowadays, the singer's here a band. So I'd like Ian and
OK, as we're looking down the Hill of Stirling, we've got the castle up in the back here. Looking at our history, I suppose, we're looking to the future with you, so we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Seagulls and our singer, Iona Fife. This is from Iona's EP, East. This is Prideway Aberdeen.
We've lost some tender lass I've seen. We snow white skin and lang green hair and bonny whirring. But this bonny lassie, I fell sick and her feet's were set to dee. For all this maiden loved the lad, no other lad but me. All earthly pleasures now are fled and my joyful days are done. Since Ellen in her grief was laid and the glass of life was run. For her days were numbered on this earth, her age but 17. And on her tate of female sex in the pride of Aberdeen. The affliction that young Ellen bore defied old doctor's skill. She closed her eyes and bid farewell at her redeemer's will. No friends on earth young Ellen left to shed a silent tear. Of parents both she was bereft and of 11th year. Desire to death makes me repine. To see a maid so young and ears tuned from the stage of time. The last request young Ellen gave, since nothing could her save. That I might see her last remains like decent in her grave. This word to pierce my tender heart as I sat by her side. The day young Ellen breathed at last, she was to be my bride. A half times her old the green churchyard to hear green turf bed. Just yet breathes a single sigh, or silent with the head.
Iona Fife and the Pride of Aberdeen, and she's the Pride of Huntly. Good on you, Iona. Wish you all the best. And good news, the Psalter Society of Scotland has just launched a new bursary open to post-secondary students pursuing a career in music, fine arts, theatre, dance or cultural studies. And the new bursary is in honour of artist Alistair Gray, and the winner will be announced in November. For more information, go to the Psalter Society Scotland website. And more good news! Tradfest, promoted by Trax, Traditional Arts and Culture Scotland, is about to start on the 26th of April. And as the brochure says, it's a vibrant 12-day showcase of Scotland's thriving traditional arts. And it goes on to the 7th of May, buzzing with new ideas and concerts across the city of Edinburgh. So to tell us more, I spoke to a programme manager at the Storytelling Centre in Edinburgh and festival manager for Tradfest, Daniel Abercrombie.
Tradfest is an Edinburgh festival which celebrates all traditional arts, also celebrates the coming of spring in the city. So we've got May Day celebrations and the Beltane celebrations, but it's more than just a listing of events. It's a genuine, dynamic experience where people can really get to know the city's environments, its peoples and its cultures.
Right, this is your fourth year, am I right?
Fourth full year. Yeah, we've done five of them. The first one was a pilot, so fourth full year.
Before we get to the nuts and bolts, what's new this year?
Well, we've got quite a lot of the usual kind of strands, but there is two new ones. We're lucky to be partnering with the Year of History, Heritage and Archaeology this year, 2017. So we've got a strand called the People's Heritage, which is Edinburgh storytellers live on locations throughout Edinburgh doing pop-up events celebrating characters and unique tales from Edinburgh's kind of popular history.
Just Edinburgh?
Just Edinburgh, yeah, because it's specific to the locations within Edinburgh. So you'll find there'll be storytellers on street corners celebrating the local history within that site.
So you've got another bit called Local Cultures as well, but that's not just Edinburgh.
No, not at all. Local Cultures is they're celebrating some activity within Edinburgh, but we're pleased to be bringing acts and performers from different parts of Scotland, and actually a couple of international ones as well, celebrating different cultures that are going on, different community groups, different activity that's happening within Edinburgh and Scotland, and as I say, we're internationally as well. For example, we've got Sambo, it's an event about Isle of Lewis, we've got events about Wick, Newhaven, Eyemouth, we've even got even in music and storytelling about Baghdad, we've got Ghanaian drumming, we've got songs from Palestine, stories from Norway, international, but a lot of the time these are groups and performers that are based in Edinburgh, based in Scotland, so it's traditional arts, it's cultural activity that's happening in Scotland already, but it's got an international flavour, such as the world, really, you know.
What about the start of Tradfest? How's it going to launch this year?
Well, we're delighted, actually, to have a big gig up at the Queen's Hall. Bagpipes galore. We've got a celebration of a kind of cultural renaissance in bagpiping across the last 30 years or so. We've got a world-class lineup of pipers that have been put together, so delighted to have that kicking things off.
That's the first new thing, but there's another new thing with the Battle of the Bands.
We've got a Battle of the Folk Bands, which is happening. That's the last night of Tradfest, so it's kind of that's bookending the festival. So Hands Up for Trad put a call out for new bands to submit to play at this event, and we think we've got about five or six bands playing, competing for the top prize, which, you know, there's a variety of things, one of which will be a gig at Tradfest next year. I think also a gig at Celtic Connections next year. So it's great to have a platform for new musicians, new talent in Scotland to come together, put a new group together, competing amongst bands is never the best thing, but you know, it's a great platform for that. So we're delighted to have that in the festival as well.
The bit is in a tween.
Well, there's a great music strand. We've always got a fantastic strand of music, and that's up at Summer Hall this year.
Music's up at Summer Hall. Mostly.
The majority of it. Aye. And the Soundhouse organisation have programmed that, along with Edinburgh Folk Club and Scots Music Group as well. So Summer Hall's going to be alive with music. Scottish Storytelling Centre, we're hosting this local culture strand, so we're going to have a real mix of music, storytelling, dance, some craft stuff, and exhibitions. It's going to be a real mix of things happening here. There's the Folk Film Gathering. So
that's growing, isn't it? Because there's a big entry this year.
Indeed, it was a huge success last year. So we're delighted Transgressive North have programmed that again. That's going to be mainly held at the Film House here in Edinburgh, but also some here at the Storytelling Centre. Very pleased with that. The whole thing with Tradfest is about partner organisations, creativity from our friends here who can piece together programmes. And another example of that is up at the National Library. We've got this Look Again series of talks and exploring issues to do with Scotland's history and heritage. So there's like Look Again at the Jacobites, Look Again at Gaelic culture, Look Again at film heritage. So that's another really interesting strand up at the National Library.
Okay, Daniel, a lot going on, obviously. You're a busy man, so I'm not going to keep you longer. How do folk get more information and book tickets?
Well, that's a good question. We go to the Track Scotland website, where there's a Tradfest part of it there. You can phone the box office here at the Storytelling Centre. All details are online. Some venues are doing their own tickets, so all the information is online at the Track Scotland /Tradfest.
Tradfest Festival Manager Daniel Abercrombie. And the programme this year looks full of buzz. Music for Abdi, mostly up at the Summer Hall. And as you hear, they're finishing with the Battle of the Bands. Nay to be missed. And in the programme, the 29th of April, I'm looking forward to hearing songs again for the new album by Kayla Rowan, The Fruited Thorn. Kayla, backed by James McIntosh and Ewan McPherson, R3 Fishugal Nifty. I really enjoyed hearing them up in Glenbucket Hall in Strathdon the other week. The Hill Concert was a masterclass in arrangement and song and presentation. This is Kayla with the song Mary and the Gallant Soldier.
high renown, who would hear of a fair young maiden as she roved out on a summer's day to view the soldiers parading? Well, they marched so bold and they looked so gay, and the colours flying and the bands a-playing. Well, it caused young Mary for to say, I'll wed you, my gallant soldier. Soldiers on parade, as they stood at their leisure, Mary to herself did say, well, at last I found my treasure. But oh, how cruel my parents must be to banish my love so far from me. Well, I'll leave them all and I'll go with thee, my bold undaunted soldier. Oh, Mary dear, my truest love, I pray don't be unruly, for when we're in the foreign land, believe me, you'll rue it surely. And perhaps in battle I might fall with a shot from an angry cannonball, and you so far from your daddy's hall, be advised by a gallant soldier. I've 50 guineas in my fold, likewise a heart that's bolder. Well, I'll leave them all and I'll go with thee, my bold undaunted soldier. And don't say no and let me go, and I will face the daring foe, and we'll march together to and fro, and I'll wed you, my gallant soldier. And when he saw her loyalty and Mary so true-hearted, he said, my darling, married we'll be, and nothing but death will part us. And when we're in the foreign land, we'll guard you, darling, with my right hand, and we'll hope that God may stand a friend for Mary and her gallant soldier. And when we're in the foreign land, we'll guard you, darling, with my right hand, and the hope that God may stand a friend for Mary and her gallant soldier.
Isn't that lovely? That was Kayla Rowan for her new CD, The Fruited Thorn. Just a lovely album altogether. You're listening to Scotch Radio. I'm being Freda Morrison, and Richie Werner is played by Richie Werner in the control room.
Checking in. How are we doing? We all right?
We're fine.
Excellent.
And Richie, I can't help but mention that our occasional companion here, Steve Byrne, you minding him?
I do ken that guy. I mean that Chile.
Nice looking guy. Is teaming up with his old Malinky bandmate, Corinne Polwart, for a concert at Summer Hall on the 1st of May, along with fiddler extraordinaire Adam Sutherland and Mary Campbell, Finn Moore and Sarah Hoy.
Oh, what a lineup.
It's a great, super lineup, and it's all part of Tradfest. It's a fundraiser for Scots Music Group that has been bringing trad music and songs and dance to Edinburgh communities for over 25 years. Weel thochtet, weel deen. And look out for another chance to see the play Jocks, Jocks with Gary West, Chris Wright and Scott Gardner at the Storytelling Centre on the 4th of May, part of Tradfest again. The play pays tribute to the men of the northeast of Scotland who fought in the Great War, based closely on interviews carried out by folk singer Jock Duncan. And also, Corinne Polwart again. Corinne Polwart again, Richie.
No, she was.
She's ever busy.
She is a busy.
She's on with Scott Screever, Hamish MacDonald at the National Library in Edinburgh, part of Tidefest, looking again at the creative dynamism of Scots. A thought-provoking exploration of the Scots tongue. And Foote continues to speak with a contemporary voice.
That's what we do, isn't
it? We're doing our best. But that's just a couple of treasures and colours in Tradfest this year. Check out the programme, and it's well worth a visit, I can tell you. And a voice we will miss in many colours is that of the late Lawrence Tulloch, weel kent and respected storyteller for Shetland, for died in February. This is Mary Blance's tribute to Lawrence.
Once upon a time, there were women that used to go from door to door in Shetland acting for oo. They were kent as the oo tiggers. And one day, they came to the house in North Yell and they asked for oo. Now, it was early summer, and the women of the house didn't hear a great deal of oo to guide them. But anyway, they didn't like no to guide the old tiger something, because they were can't as women that could do more as make themselves. And if you didn't give them some moo, then they were liable to bring some kind of an evil spell upon you.
And you can guess that what happens next in yon story is not going to be good. That was the instantly recognisable tones of Lawrence Tulloch, wee a tale that he learned from his father Tom Tulloch when Lawrence was growing up in North Yell. Lawrence's sudden death came as a shock, no just to Wiss and Shetland, to his family, his friends and his local community, but to everybody that was come across him on his storytelling wages around the world. From Washington and Reykjavik to Donegal and Slovenia, he was earth-kent in the world of folklore and storytelling. And in the folk that'll miss him most deeply is Arcadian Tom Muir, that was been a travelling companion on many of that tours, and Cadam Brider.
We were all over the place, from Iceland to Slovenia and around Scandinavia a lot, and we did work as well with training storytellers, folk new to storytelling. He had a lot of folk that are telling stories now because of him, and a lot in Slovenia.
Yeah, so it's not just him telling stories. Mm. He shared that skill and help at other folk.
That's right, and he also encouraged them to take an interest in their own folk tales for their own regions. So it helps to keep the stories alive as well as a new generation of storytellers coming up.
Among the folk he was a mentor to is the convener of the Shetland Dialect Promotion Group, Shetland Forwards. And Davy Cooper assures us he would never have been the storyteller he is today without Lawrence.
It's true to say, Lawrence introduced me to the world of storytelling and offered moral support through the first few faltering steps onto the stage to perform. Yeah, no, without him it wouldn't happen. The thing we learned was that whether it was in life or was it on the stage, he was a very generous individual. He never took more than his share of the limelight when you were performing together. Always made sure that everybody got their turn at the mic. And he was pretty much like that in the way that he led his life, I think. He never seemed to hear a word for anybody. It was always about seeing the best of it.
And he was very much more a storyteller. I mean, storytelling was obviously very important to him, but he was more as that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was a very gifted writer. He was an excellent tour guide. He was a superb ambassador for Shetland and for the Shetland dialect. He travelled a lot of places telling stories, and always left the best of impressions of Hunter.
Does do he any particular memory, an image that comes to mind when do thinks of him?
There's no particular story, no particular anecdote, but I always mind Lawrence either smiling or gaffing. As soon as you think about Lawrence, that image comes into your mind of his laughter, because he was laughing. There were always a funny story to tell, or an anecdote, and if you tell them a funny story, he just crack and gaff.
Where did his stories come from?
Like most storytellers, he was a dedicated collector. Lawrence picked up stories everywhere he did, and other books, and for either storytellers, and for folk that he met. I can only imagine that the origins was his father. His father was a very gifted storyteller as well, and the other folk that he grew up with in the North East Hill, I think that he picked up stories left, right and centre there, but he spent his whole life adding to that collection. Lawrence had the real talent of a storyteller, and that's to be able to take a story, and although he always acknowledged where he was gotten it from, he then told it in a way that was completely, inimitably Lawrence Tulloch.
Davy mentioned Lawrence writing there, and should you want to read what he wrote, then as well as all the yarns in books like The Foy and other stories, seek out his memoir, A Life as a Lighthouse Keeper at Cape Wrath and Muckleflugga, On the Rocks, full of humour and real insight. And then there are all the other bits of Lawrence, his tremendous interest in music, especially Irish music, and cricket. and his rich family life with his wife Margaret and daughter Liz. But now back to Tom Muir. What better is a story about twa storytellers telt by another storyteller?
Bo Almqvist was from Sweden, studied in Norway and Iceland before becoming the chair of Irish Studies at University College Dublin. And as far as folklore goes, Bo was pretty much the top dog. He met Lawrence in Shetland and he had a great love for the story of Jan Tatten the Bear. And he would say, "I would like to hear the story about the bear." Now, in February 2004, there was a big international meeting in Orkney for the Nordic countries, and Bo and Lawrence were both invited. Now, there was a kind of problem with funding, as usual, and accommodation was a bit tight, so I said, "They can bide at me house." So they stayed with me in Kirkwall. At the end of the conference, it started to snow. And it snowed really heavy. All the flights was cancelled and everything was kind of closed. Bo said to me the one day, he was looking at the window and he goes, "It is snowing very hard." And I said, "Yes, it is, Bo." And he said, "I hope we will not run out of food." And I was a reed rag to a bull to me. And I was saying, "Another cup of tea, biscuit, sandwich." And of course, drams flowing. And I have a fairly extensive library that Bo was very happy researching among. And I had an open fire going like the boiler room of the Titanic. And one day, I get through to the kitchen to put the tea on for a bite to eat. And I came back through and I opened the door of the sitting room. And here the two of them were, lying on the floor, playing bagatelle. And I thought, here is the leading academic scholar of folklore, Professor Bo Almqvist, and Lawrence Tulloch, the tradition bearer for Shetland, the great storyteller, the two of them lying on the floor, playing on a bagatelle board and giggling like a pair of schoolboys. Just a beautiful memory.
Lawrence Tulloch, 1942-2017. I'm still no believing that he's been, but at least we have memories, books and recordings.
Say Bonnie Pitt, Mary. And I'll let Mary introduce the next tune.
To sign off this time, we hear music. Debbie Scott composed Tulloch the Teller and the Dance of the Trows for Lawrence, and here she plays it with her daughter Astrid on piano.
Debbie Scott playing her tunes for Lawrence Tulloch. Say, Bonnie Debbie, congratulations, and congratulations on that report to Mary. My next guest will have enjoyed hearing that and appreciated the tribute to Lawrence. And I've been trying to meet up with Dr. Fiona Jane Brown for a long time, but she's half a busy as well. She's one of the most talented and enthusiastic buddies I've ever met. She just sparkles and buzzes with energy. Eno Aberdeen's treasures, and she runs her in-company card, Hidden Aberdeen Tours. Well, I joined Fiona Jane sitting outside Elphinstone Hall in All Aberdeen, in among the students and the seagulls.
Well, this is the front of Elphinstone Hall. Looks like a medieval cloister, but as I say, it was only built in the 1920s. And inside is new for the Heather graduations, and we're sitting just the window we're sitting below is the Linklater Halls, named after Eric Linklater, the historian. And it's the inside, the hall itself looks medieval. It's got a hammer beam ceiling. But 1921 was when it was built, and it was Alexander Marshall Mackenzie designed it to look like a medieval hall to complement King's College Chapel, if it were sitting right aside.
He made a good job of it, didn't he?
If it was built in 1500. Yeah. So technically, I mean, as I say this when I'm doing the tour, that inside King's Quad is a medieval quad, but we are actually sitting in what was designed as a 20th century quad, because you've got New King's over there. Again, it looks very medieval. It's got sort of medieval tracery in the windows and lattice glass in them. And down at the front used to be the Divinity Manse, but some feel knocked it down. So really, that would be two 20th century buildings, a Victorian building and the medieval kirk.
Why is it called Hidden Aberdeen Tours?
Well, the whole point was, before I started it, it was really about photography and stuff. I was interested in if it was there before. And I used to wander up and down Union Street and run here and think, I can't fit here. I've seen a photograph. And I started reading the books and trying to get in my mind a picture of if it was there before. So it's hidden in that it's hidden because maybe the building doesn't exist anymore, or it's there but there in plain sight, but nobody cares what it is, unless you tell them. And it's either there and folk, so it's hidden, forgotten, and lost. And that's kind of my theme, that it's bringing to life and sort of uncovering the past that folk have forgotten.
You see, folk didn't ken, just fits about them.
Yes.
Fits gone on about them in history and all that. So you're just bringing others to life, as you said. That's, but you're taking it a wee step further, aren't you, with street theatre?
Well, this is something new, and obviously I can't do it that often because it requires money. But me, I set up my own theatre company in order to be able to apply for funding, because obviously Hidden Aberdeen's a commercial organisation, but to have a theatre company that has a voluntary committee, and we can apply for funding that way. And we've already done, very recently, 2 weeks ago, we were at the Beach Ballroom for the Hall of Mirrors Local History Conference, first ever conference of its kind, to celebrate 125 years of the Central Library in Aberdeen. And we put on a potted history of Aberdeen with 4 dramatic sketches. And so I did, the first sketch was about how the Bon Accord motto came to be. Second Dean was about a true murder. And then we did a wee thing that was about the Corby Well, a holy well in Torrey that was used to heal folk. And then finally, a reimagining of an event that happened in 1912 when Winston Churchill, when he was in the Liberal government, was giving a speech in Aberdeen and he was heckled by some suffragettes. So I have a team of... Now, I must point out that this is a very specialist theatre company. It's site-specific, so we try and do stuff on the sites, like on the tours, in the places where things happened. And it's all local history again. It's basically what Hidden Aberdeen does, but trying to turn it into a dramatic representation. And that the characters will normally speak Doric, where possible. And obviously, it makes perfect sense in certain periods of time that, of course, they would speak Doric.
Last but not least, if folk want to join you, what's happening, what's your plan? How do they get in contact with you? How do they book on your tours? And what have you got lined up for the rest of the year?
Well, our walking tours start on the 6th of April. And of course, it's Old Aberdeen we're starting at, but it's actually sold out already. The next Dean after that is, I think it's the 12th of April, and that's Lost Cinemas of Aberdeen. Of course, Aberdeen was famous for having the most cinemas in any Scottish city. And then we have this tour on April the 19th, celebrating women's history and suffragette incidences in Aberdeen. So that's the first three of the year, and we've got more of our indoor storytelling events. We've got a biggie coming up at Brewdog Castle Gate in their Underdog Lounge.
If folk wanted to get onto your tours or kind of join you in some of your tours, how would they do it?
Well, we sell tickets through the website, and in another week or so, you'll be able to buy tickets from the local Visit Scotland office in Union Street.
Remind us again about your website.
Okay, it's hiddenaberdeen.co.uk with the three W's at the beginning.
And your Facebook?
Is facebook.com/hiddenabdntours, Hidden Aberdeen Tours, but it's shortened Aberdeen.
And they can buy tickets through the
webpage? Yes, the webpage. If they go on to dates at the moment, that's how you get into the calendar, and there's other links, but it's on a Facebook page as well. And even you can be even quicker than that, and you can go to the ticketing website, which is ticketsource.co.uk/ Hidden Aberdeen Tours, all one word.
Fantastic. Yeah. Okay, right, I'm going to come back later on the year and do more stories. Thanks a lot for this. Okay. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Not a bad place, Aberdeen, is it?
Yep.
Not a bad place, is it?
It's fine. I have lived here since 1991, and I was born here in Aa, so I am proud of my city.
And it shows.
Dr.
Fiona Jane Brown, a real national treasure, and Ian that needs all the encouragement we can muster. And I left in the clattering of that staging that came out of that lorry for just to say thank you to the lorry drivers that stopped and waited till we were finished speaking before they clattered about with their stuff. Thank you. Really thoughtful. So that just about takes us into the end of this episode. Episode 40. Men, Richie.
Is this the 40th one of these?
Fit a time of food.
Wow.
Macking 40 programmes.
That is incredible.
Men.
That's amazing.
Summies. Summies. Can I tell you a wee story about summies? Somebody said, what does summies mean? And I said, well, it's kind of like the opposite of natives. I was being honest.
You said you'd be like,
it was just tricky. I was just asking. I said, I wasn't being tricky.
I thought I'd just get that.
Some reason he wasn't being tricky at all. I'm not the kind of folk that's going to be being tricky. Well, just think about the folk that have appeared on Scotch Radio, though, and most of them still speaking to us.
Oh, I must be doing something right then.
We're doing neighbours. And we've been nominated, Richie.
What for?
Nominated.
What have you been
nominated? It gives us great delight and pleasure to tell you that Scotch Radio has been nominated for an award in the Celtic Media Festival among big companies. And we've been nominated in the Radio Magazine category.
Radio Magazine.
And we're up against, of course, other the BBC big international companies. And we're say honoured. And thank you to the organisers and the supporters of the festival. We're so excited. And we'll be meeting up with my adopted family again in the Gaeltacht world.
Oh, aye.
Remember the Gaeltacht adopted me last year,
my
Richie.
You were under
their wing, weren't you? When we were in Ireland. I was the only Scots speaker, and I think they just felt sorry for me.
Oh.
They cheered for me, and I cheered for them.
Well, there you go. That's the way it's won.
But we'll tell you who we get on in the Isle of Man in the very near future.
The Isle of Man?
Isle of Man this time.
Fantastic.
Jeepers, watch the space. As they say in Gannaboot Places, Richie, men, summies.
Summies.
And I mentioned the plays Jock's Jock earlier with Gary West, that's based closely on interviews carried out by folk singer Jock Duncan with soldiers returning for the Great War. And it gives me great pleasure to post another all-time treasure from my own archive up on our website. A film I did of Jock Duncan himself singing the Tradesman's Pluin Match at Hogmanay, filmed up at the Lorna Hall in Strathdon. And as I said, it's just a treasure. I got permission, Faye Jock and his son Ian, to show it. You haven't seen it yet, Richie, have you?
I haven't, no, I'll need to. I can't wait.
It's a classic. Bit for new. We'll finish with one of my favourite bands. This is for the Battlefield Band and their album Happy Days. This is the Many Max set. In this episode, I have been Frieda Morrison, Richie.
You have been Frieda Morrison, Frieda Morrison.
And our soon sorter, Richie Werner, has been Richie Werner.
I have been Richie Werner. Thank you for lending us your lugs.
He has been his very self. Right, so buy the new, join us again.
Buy the new.